hot in here too.
Kieran, hi.
G'day. How you doing?
Okay, it's Kieran, right?
That's it. That's it. Ernie or Ernest?
I don't care. Everybody calls me Ernie.
I like Ernie. Ernie's a cool name. Awesome. How you been? Or how are you doing, should I say?
Busy as hell, man. I mean, it's just, you know, I was looking forward to doing this, though.
I hear that. We've just come out of, I don't know if you were aware of the lockdowns and stuff happening in Victoria and Melbourne, but we're hopefully sort of coming out of it next week, I think it is. But the kids have been at home pretty much all year, so they're back.
Have you started
streaming? As of this week, so it's been absolutely crazy at school. So I work at a primary school or an elementary school, and it's just been a wild year doing remote learning.
Yeah,
a lot of positives coming out of it too, but
I'm sure they pissed off a lot of people and they got educated, and I'm at lock home, okay, I'm gonna find out what's up, and I watch Kieran, Ernie and Corbett and I'm good, you know. Which is why
and I think the really positive thing is the digital literacy that's happened sort of organically. So you know, people kind of forced to upskill themselves on some of the tech. So it's kind of cool.
Excuse me a second.
Hello, hello.
Hey, James.
Hey, James.
How you doing?
Not too bad. You guys hear me?
Yep.
Yeah, you're good. How's my level?
I can put on
good
headphones if you're getting any feedback.
No, seems to be good.
Okay. Then I won't.
So what we usually do, I don't know what you guys do, but we usually record on our phones as well, because I'll give this to the sound engineers, and then they put it all together and make it sound as cool as possible.
Wow, you have people?
Low tech. Come on.
Well, it seems to be the easiest for the for all our guests. And yeah, I mean, I'm just at a primary school or an elementary school, as I was just saying, and we kind of just started this podcast. Based off sort of like the history of the school.
Can you give me access to record then? Because I'll record backup on my end.
Yeah, sure.
And we're going to stream and record on our OBS stuff. So our audience is
awesome. Awesome.
Doing it. Did you hit it? Okay, we're broadcasting now.
And I'll record to the cloud as well. Participants.
So do you guys know each other already?
No.
Nope. First time.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'll give you the background. So like I was just on library, like 2 weeks ago or maybe even a week ago, and which has morphed into
Odyssey
now. Yeah. So which is really cool. Like I actually interviewed the CEO of
Jeremy
library.
Hoffman, yeah.
Earlier in the year with the kids here, actually. So we did an interview and like all sort of student-based questions. This is really cool. And then we set up a library competition. So like best student-centric video, whichever gets the most thumbs up, like wins the cryptocurrency sort of thing. So it's pretty cool. But it's really fun.
Send me the details on that. I'd like to know.
Oh, well, yeah. So just libraryproject.github.io. In fact, okay. One of the kids made the site and it's all their idea. So it's
cool.
Quite fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I was like, oh, what's this Odyssey? Jumped on it. I'm like, oh my God, this is awesome. Like, it's so much faster. And they've just built on top of the library blockchain, obviously. And then your video popped up. I'm like, hey, I know James. That's awesome. And like, I've watched and sent your 9/11 video around because it's just so hilarious. And everyone seems to like resonate with it. And yeah, I was like, oh, what's this? You're on IPFS? Awesome. So yeah, that's why I reached out.
Awesome.
Well,
do
you have an intro you want to start the show, or we're just kicking it right now?
Just go for it. So the podcast we do is pretty freeform. And to give you the background, it was my co-host can't join us. She's got a really boring meeting with lawyers, unfortunately. So she can't jump in, but she wanted to say hi anyway. So, but yeah, so we started this podcast. It was actually a parent that came to my school earlier in the year and basically wanted to replicate the stuff that we're doing at this school, kind of at her school for her kids. And then we just sort of hit it off and like said, well, let's start this IPFS podcast because no one's kind of doing it. And it's been really interesting because we've learned a lot about the protocol just from doing it and speaking to developers. And my background, I've actually got a startup that we're building, have been building on IPFS specifically for education for like the last, 3 years now, building out a platform called Rocket Shoes. And basically it takes, I don't know if you guys are familiar with like how learning management systems work, but basically every school uses an LMS.
I apologize. Well, come sit over here. Luke Radowski from We Are Change.
Oh, no way.
You never know who's going to drop in.
Oh, dude. Hey, Luke.
Yeah, all right, here we can put you on, you know.
Hey, Luke.
Hey, nice to meet you.
Well, you know, because he's interested in this, too, because his YouTube channel is about ready to go, you know.
Yeah, they're going to axe you as well, are they?
It's like about to be ripped apart. I can't hear those guys.
Donna, plug him in an audio. And Donna, plug him audio in, putting at least here. All right, we'll get to him. We'll get to him later. You crowd me, man.
I'm a huge fan of Luke as well, so that's awesome. Okay, no, very cool.
Now you got to sit in my lap. Get over here. move over. There you go. Yeah, you know, Luke is one of the people that we – you got audio? Luke is one of the guys that we started saving on IPFS because we knew this was going to happen to him any day. You know, and you're done. So it's, yeah, and it's going to get hot in here. That's why I left that door open, man. And you got this hoodie on. You're going to, all right, fine. You'll bake. Well, I'm already starting to sweat.
You saved all his YouTube channel as, what, MP4 files?
We have one of the guys on the Telegram named Thomas that wrote script that just takes it straight from YouTube and loaded it on the IPFS. Okay. And we did that for Press for Truth, World Alternative Media, I think Max Egan, of course you. We focused on James because, you know, this was, you know, I knew it. James Corbett is one big giant less thing I got to do. I mean, you know, it's all the stuff that he has, and I use it a lot. You know, they go, well, what do you watch this and then talk to me? Yeah, watch this series. And James and I had talked about this before is that, you know, what order? You know, I'm going, let me see. Maybe, it's hard. World War One conspiracy, then you do How Big Oil Conquered the World. Then you do Century of Enslavement. Then you do Why Big Oil Conquered the World. Then the Gates, you know, quad. And, I mean, you get it in the right order, and you go, okay, I get it, you know. And I knew that they wanted to get rid of this stuff, and I'm like, hell no. And IPFS, you know, I don't know when you want to get into all that, but, you know, I apologize. I didn't mean to interrupt you. You're talking about
LMS.
LMS, you know.
That's all cool. No, all good.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, to give you the background, like I've been building this platform called Rocket Shoes for the last number of years, which is, we don't like to call it an LMS because secretly we kind of want the learning management system to die because that's not how students learn, right? It's a centralized form of...
I don't know what that is. What is a learning
management system? So it's just imagine, so like a didactic model of learning. So you have like, you know, someone standing at the front of the classroom kind of pretending to know everything. And that's like, doesn't really work anymore. That's basically what an LMS is. Centralized, you put stuff in and sort of kids upload stuff. So what we had a pretty cool one a couple of years ago that some guys developed that did like gamification. So like students would do work and you get like, you know, tokens and stuff and learn. Anyway, uploading all this work to these centralized servers, they jack their prices up, and our school couldn't afford it because we're in a pretty sort of low socioeconomic area, and they ran off with all the kids' work. And we're like, what? This is crazy. So kind of took it upon myself with my co-founder for the company to like start building a platform that talks to LMSs and pulls all that data out into IPFS, into a learning wallet that belongs to the students and not a third party. So, I mean, I've kind of been in this space, in the decentralized space since like 2012 sort of thing, particularly with education. So like this space I'm in now is all funded with BTC. So we had a philanthropist that actually come from the States a number of years ago, and which is like 2017, like just before, or 2016, before the bull run. And he gave us 21 Bitcoins to build a learning space out of shipping containers or blocks in a blockchain. So I'm sitting in one now. And it's quite an interesting story because we had the Department of Education who like didn't like Bitcoin and didn't understand it. And so they like didn't want us to, you know, use the money. So what we ended up doing was setting up a foundation and using the same tech. So like with the blockchain, you can do like a voting mechanism. So we flipped it and let the kids decide like how we allocated the funds completely for the space. So authenticated voting and then building out learning spaces directly student centric. So like this space is a Twitch streaming area, which is we got like soundproofing and stuff on the walls and a pretty hardcore gaming computer and stuff on the floor. There's one across from me. In fact, I'll give you a tour. So we've got this one. I don't know if you can see. That container over there is network engineering with Mario Game Maker in it for some reason, if that puts it in perspective. This one, we've got like a makerspace, like really hardcore 3D printers and a bunch of other wacky stuff. And then this one here is virtual reality, so like two really high-end PCs.
How many children have access to this stuff?
What's that, sorry?
How many children have access to this stuff?
So we've got 380 kids here. But the really sad thing this year is because of the lockdown, there's been no one here. So we've only had kids back this week. And we're not supposed to be in like confined spaces. It's been really sad. Slash kind of cool because digital literacy has just gone like way up. So there has been a real positive to this year as well. But anyway, so that's kind of my background and where I'm at with the whole IPFS and decentralized tech. This podcast has just been about learning more and more about the tech.
So with the containers, are you preparing for the FEMA camps or are you just recycling the containers that you have there?
It's precisely, yeah.
Which one is it? Go ahead.
So to put you in the picture, like we literally have no money at this school and the Department of Education really doesn't like afford us to buy much. So when we got the 21 BTC, we wanted to allocate that in a way, one that was student-centric, but two, basically use those funds like as efficiently as possible. And shipping containers are quite cheap, so we were able to like deck them out with stuff that the kids were excited about as quickly as possible. And it's been pretty cool. Like the kids love it, and it's I love the idea of like the 21 specifically, because you know it's sort of 1% of the Bitcoin blockchain built a school kind of within a school.
Very cool. You know, in your bio here, it's, you know, it's a long list of, you know, technology, you speak and blockchain expert and everything. So how did you come across IPFS? Why did that give you such an interest?
So I used to work at the Bitcoin Center in the city. So I think ours opened around the same time as the one in New York. I think someone came in and showed me Juan Bennett's presentation like back in 2016, I think.
Yeah,
it was
TED Talk before that. Did that time. Yeah.
Yeah, and I was just like, yeah, this is it. Like, this will fix so many things. And there's been, I mean, I'm pretty agnostic. So like to think about things, like I think there's great IPFS. We've got all these other tech, like library, as we mentioned. Storage was another one, which I was really excited about. In fact, I think we're probably the only school in the world to back up our Minecraft server to storage with some servers that were built by kids. So that was pretty cool. But I think, there's so many cool competing open source decentralized techs that are out there. It's just,
you know,
just
that's
really exciting. But
that's what got my interest started. My whole thing has been to have data storage that was available to anybody anywhere that wasn't centralized, it couldn't be censored. You know, that was the point. And yeah. MadeSafe was, I was really, you know, interested
MadeSafe
in, and,
too.
And
yep.
Storage
yep.
came out of that, and the kid, Storage Sean, I think, you know, may have been the guy, and I've interviewed all these guys, made a big deal, we really pushed MadeSafe, but they maxed out on their funding in like 5 hours, I mean, boom, it's done, and then, yeah. You know, whenever you get a lot of attention like that, it gets either infiltrated or, they, you know, sip Mai Tais on the beach or whatever the hell they're doing. And it just kind of, you know, never took off. And I could see the reason why. And what we've been screaming about as having, you know, this, you know, pirate communication is one thing. Hailing frequencies invisible to the crown. That's over here. But the what if I don't want to be secret? What if I want everybody to see it whenever they want? Well, that's, you know, decentralized storage and then dissemination of the data. So they were coming up with the concept that you get paid, you get crypto for proof of storage or whatever. So you have the data, and then you get paid also for the dissemination of that data. Well, that's easy to game. You know, it's kind of like AdSense, you know, Google clicking word thing, you know. So they couldn't monetize it, and their big concern was, well, how do we monetize it, and it's going to get gamed. And I'm going, yeah, that's all very interesting, but you're saying I can permanently store my information, right? Well,
that's right.
I don't give a crap about this other stuff, man. Gimme, gimme, gimme. And my IT guy, Derek Slopey, that you saw in the video, you know, James and I, you know, super geek with grease under his fingernails and a big hacker space warehouse and working on, you know, our bus and all this kind of, I mean, the guy is a jack of everything, you know, and it's just an amazing genius. But he came to me and he said a few years ago, this IPFS thing. Well, I hadn't seen Juan Bonet's thing until, like, a couple years later. I didn't even know it was part of Filecoin and all that stuff. But he gave me the capabilities of it and what it can do. And I go, well, let's do that. Well, right now he's installing a 16-terabyte server in his warehouse and it just houses whatever. We can do all of our stuff. We're probably about 800-900 gig over 15 years of Freedom's Phoenix and all the stuff that we do. You know, James has a pretty large archive. And then, of course, you know, a lot of Luke's stuff and everybody else. You can put in a Raspberry Pi 3 plus or 4, whatever they call them now, and an external hard drive, a couple terabyte, and you're a node. You know, you just plug it in and you're done. So this concept.
You can even set up IPFS clusters. So we've done that here with Raspberry Pis. So we've got like, you know, a bank of.
Wait a minute. You're my new best friend. Okay. Tell me about your Raspberry Pi IPFS storage and dissemination. Go, man. Go.
So we've got obviously a number of nodes running here, VMs, NUCs, Raspberry Pis. In fact, we've even built with Android on its sticks. We got like. The idea was to get like each student their own Android on a stick, which is, you know, $50 or $40 or whatever it was. And you plug that into the screens and like kind of away you go. Great idea in theory. In practice, it meant a whole bunch of like Android on a sticks getting broken. They'd take them home and like come back just in ruins because they weren't robust enough. So anyway, we took all the broken ones and made like this massive cluster. It's like 3D printed. A way to sort of put them on a rail and then got them all with, actually we upcycled a bunch of old computers. So like ripped them apart, took out the hard drives, put that hard drive with a semi-broken Android on a stick, and then you create a cluster kind of just like for fun.
Let me ask some questions. How much memory storage do you have for your IPFS pending of files?
All up probably... Jeez. Well, I mean, we've got like 20 TB just on one server that we could potentially host stuff with. So, I mean, and then from out there, we've got a whole bunch of other nodes. Like,
and then, you know, the dissemination, what kind of bandwidth do you have?
We've got a gigabit connection for the school. In fact, we've got three connections, so you could, and we've aggregated two of them, so more than
okay
that.
Well,
so
now that you have fast. Century of Enslavement on there, you know, is the man coming in going, oh no, hell no, you're so freaking not allowed?
Well, what I love is that you can, like, what IPFS does is shard the data, so you can potentially be hosting it, but it's not actually, that file is not sitting on your server, just a piece of it, right? So sort of like torrents. But what's really cool, and I only just figured out this week, is we're building a virtual school with a number of schools, actually in the US. So one in Boston where are the other two? God, I'm forgetting the other states. But anyway, really nice people. And we're looking at building a space where we can come together and learn about things sort of together. It's the hardest part's kind of finding cross-curriculum between countries. Like, so we're started with computer science, but we're going to build out virtual spaces on this thing called Mozilla Hubs, which is built on something called A-Frame. So A-Frame's like basically VR for the web. What I've figured out actually through doing this podcast is that you can sync your GitHub. So like, you know, you upload your website, whatevs, to GitHub. With this software called Fleek, you can sync that directly to IPFS. So we're dumping all these objects, so like stuff you can create for these VR spaces. So I actually did it with two avocados. It's just like, oh, cool, that looks like an interesting thing to throw in, something funny. Got it syncing, brought it across to IPFS. You can bring it in-world into VR. So this VR space, all these objects are not sitting on a server anywhere anymore. It's on a decentralized network. So we can literally build a virtual school without having a box sitting somewhere reliant on it.
Okay,
so now it's so this, next level.
Well, once when James and Derek and I did the IPFS show, we did one. James had, we kind of talked about IPFS, I don't know what, a couple of years ago or something, a year ago or whatever. And that kind of, and James's thing was, yeah, but it's kind of slow. It's not real snappy and everything. Well, I'll start using it and it'll get really fast. Well, by the time he starts checking it again, all this stuff happens. He's going, hey, man, that's going pretty fast. I'm going, yeah, you get, the more you use it, the faster it gets. Now, a gentleman, a young man, Silvestri, I think it was, from Sweden, Derek and I did a podcast with him just last week, I think, end of the week. And he is now using everybody's browser in their cell phone as a node. You know, he's setting that up. So everybody's cell phone is a node for popular files. So James will be on freaking 15 gazillion cell phones. You know, so it's just, it's amazing what this, and I could see what, it, this is the internet that I anticipated when I was young. You know, I was in my early 30s and so on, in the early 90s, mid 90s. You know, I'm going, well, this is what the internet's going to be. And then the worldwide web of status, you know, consolidation of, you know, it's theirs now, you know, that started happening. And I go, yeah, we got to go through this. And
I like to call that the legacy internet now.
Which one?
Yeah.
Web 2. So any of these Web 2 platforms like Facebook or Twitter or Google, or, you know, pick your poison, they're obsolete. Like, there's no point using them anymore. I think,
let me give you my my take on this. I was introduced to IPFS a few years ago, and Ernie, I'm sorry to say, I don't think it was from you. I think the first time I ever heard of it, it might have been Vin Armani. At any rate, it was around the time that DTube was coming online. And so I was learning, oh, what is this IPFS? And so learning about it that way. But anyway, obviously, I heard about it on your program too, Ernie. And so my use case here, the incentive for me is censorship resistance. I'm a media creator. I'm concerned about censorship. So I just want a way that to make sure that there's at least a backup of my data in a decentralized network. So that's where I'm coming from. So I'm not an IPFS maximalist, as I don't think any of us are. It's not like IPFS or bust. No, I mean, whatever works.
Yeah,
but IPFS seems to be working at this point. And that's what I'm into it for. But yeah, I see. So that's my immediate concern, is making sure my files are there and backed up and stored. But yeah, I think the longer term agenda is Web3, the D-Web, and having that with the IPFS as the network underlying, with all the things that you could do on a D-Web basis. Because actually, one thing I noticed after I posted our IPFS conversation, Ernie, I had at least one person saying, but I can't log into your IPFS website. I'm like, yeah, that... That's not how that, yeah, okay. So, you know, there's a long way to go for Joe Q Normie to get on board with what this is and how it's working. But
well, why do
once
they
we get
just...
to that point where you got a D-Web where you can log in through a decentralized network, that's going to be next level.
Well, what does he mean? I mean, we have your link. They go to your link and it goes to the page that was created for you with everything. What does he mean?
So he's talking about logging in as a member of the Corbett Report website, which of course is hosted on my server. So when you go to the IPFS and you try to log in there, it's linking to something that doesn't exist. It's trying to get into my server.
Okay, because it has a login thing on there. Because we kind of replicated your site. I was amazed.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, people are thinking this is actually a functioning website, but it's really kind of just the shell of the website linking to the files.
Right.
That's the important point of it, right?
Well, there's one thing I was surprised.
There is decentralized databases as well that we can migrate to something called Orbit. And basically, it means you won't have to have that centralized system of all those user accounts. And that's in really heavy development as well, particularly since Filecoin, like there's been all this stuff just launching.
We didn't wait on Filecoin.
With that, there's two domain name systems now that are sort of competing. And I've interviewed both of them, and they're like one's kind of going after ICANN. It's called Handshake. So Handshake blockchain, name base sitting on top of it, where you basically can get, so you want to get Cobalt Report or We Are Change. Instead of doing .com, you just type that name in and that's it. It's a TLD. The other is ENS, and ENS is on the Ethereum blockchain. So you do Cobalt Report or We Are Change .f/, and then that takes you to that website. So those two, in fact, I think I'm bidding on both of them at the moment.
I'll give them
to you guys if I win.
No, this is the main thing with me. You know, this is when you have search for IPFS, then, you know, and they're working on it right now. We had another gentleman, Josh Haley or something, you know, that people that you meet at these festivals and over time, and they kind of, you know, grow up and they're 30 now and they got some skills and they see what's happening and they're like, okay, yeah, I'm in. We need to do this. So there's like four guys, a team already. If you got some people, you know, Derek wants to, they're on GitHub, you know, doing the formatting for the metadata. Because when you load it up, you know, I want to search James's site. I need to find these, you know, it's just a hash, but it has to have some, we pull that metadata over and it looks just like his site. So you click on it and it plays. The thing is that how do you search that? So you're talking about they're starting to get to where, this is what I'm excited about is search. Yeah. This is what Derek is working on with these guys now, because once you can search, you know, the people's internet that isn't any one place, it's internet 3-point kiss my ass. I mean, we're done, you know?
Yeah, that's right.
Exactly. Well, right. How far along is that? What are you talking about? You were saying that there was some kind of a directory or something that they're working on.
Yeah.
So, well, explain that, man. I'm all ears.
Worth having a look at. So Handshake is what I'm really excited about. So it's a blockchain. So basically, you know, at the moment, how you go and register your domain. So James, you'd be paying for a Cobalt Report through ICANN. So you have to rent it off them. It's really like, it's not very efficient. And these people make billions of dollars off it. Like, it's gross. Handshake is basically just replacing that. So they're going, no, we're going to make it decentralized. You want to own We Are Change or Cobalt Report? Boom. It's yours now and forever. And the way they do it is it's really clever. It's basically you have, it's akin to, I don't know if you guys remember Namecoin was like the first fork of Bitcoin.
Derek Slopey was one of the main developers of that.
Oh, right. Yeah, I was super excited about that. And it kind of really, I think, opened a lot of people's eyes to like what the net can be. But they've kind of taken that and then built something even better where they're not just going, you know, it's a free-for-all. They get released in blocks. So, like, each name, so whether that's, you know, Kieran or James or Ernie or Luke, you can bid for that. So bid for your own name, and it's a TLD, so top-level domain name. So instead of a .com, which is a TLD that you're renting, it's just your name, and that's it. And now you can link that to IPFS, which is just like so mind-blowingly cool. It's just going to fix
so many
things.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And it's called Handshake. Really, really cool. Where do I go? How do I do it? Handshake.com or what? I mean, what?
I think it's .com. Yeah, just search Handshake blockchain and it'll bring up a whole bunch of stuff. And Namebase is a group that's building on top of that. And they're doing some really, really cool stuff. And you can mine it. So, like, if you get a coin mine one, which you can get pretty easily in the States, I had to wait, like, 6 months for it to come out to Australia. You can literally, like, one button click and start mining Handshake, like, off the bat from home. It's, like, looks like a little PlayStation or something, like, super easy to plug in. And you go, boom, and then you're, like, supporting the network.
Well, this is one thing that James, you know, because James has such a large audience, and they've been introduced to this, and it's, you know, and we got a lot of contact from that show, you know, that James put up. I mean, all of a sudden, everybody, whoa, James is doing it. What the hell, you know? We're in, man. Yeah. We're mainstream now, you know? So what kind of contact did you get, James? Did people, you know, contact or comment on it or say anything?
Yeah, I got, well, obviously there were some comments directly on my site there that people can read through, including people who are just kind of wondering what this is, or I'll get around to it later. The funniest part was that last Tuesday or whenever it was, last week, my security certificate on my SSL expired, and I knew it was expiring, and I had it on my calendar. Oh, yeah, I better get that taken care of. And I, of course, I forgot until it expired. And then I'm scrambling. Oh, God, you know, my site's down. And so people are like, oh, my God, your site's been hacked. Oh, I'm getting this warning message and everything. I'm like, no, I'm working on it. But the funny thing is I got several people saying, oh, this is a test, isn't it? You want to see if we listen to your IPFS and bookmark the site, didn't you? Well, I didn't bookmark the site. I'm like, well, no, it wasn't a test, but maybe on the bigger scheme of things, it is a test.
Well, they're bookmarking now, that's for sure.
Well, they should be anyway, yeah. But yeah, I mean, yeah, there was, shall we say, reserved enthusiasm about the idea. But again, so few people in the general sort of public even understand these issues, let alone why they're important. This is, see, to me, this is, I imagine, I wasn't there when the World Wide Web was developing. I mean, I got on the net in 95 or 96 or whatever, but I wasn't exactly helping to bring anything to fruition. But I have the sense this is the same sort of feeling as it was back in that time when everything was new, everything was exciting, all these things were developing, there were so many possibilities. And of course, it's just a tiny section of the geekiest part of the public that has any idea about this or what it really means. And they're the ones shaping it. And that's what's happening right now. And it's exciting to be part of that. But straddling, as I do, an audience 99% of whom probably don't know or care about this yet, they will. And trying to move them over to that other geekier side. I think the thing that that keeps coming back to me is the internet used to be exciting. Do you remember that?
Yes,
the internet used to be exciting, and it was a cool place, and there was interesting things happening. Now it is depressing. It's depressing as hell, not just the content of what's happening, but just the formulaic, bland, corporate garbage sites like Facebook and everything, every homogenized, boring, disgusting. It's just life-depriving to even go on the internet anymore. We could bring back that sense of this is cool. There's new things happening, and it is the free-for-all once again. This is what the internet's about. I think we can capture that energy again if we just know how to bring people on over. And it's not even really bringing people over. It's just building something cool that people want to go to.
They'll
because
come.
That's exactly what happened 20 years ago.
Yeah, you build it, they'll come. You know, this is a good thing. I want to ask Luke about it because it was first time James and I met was at the first Anarchapoco, you know, in Acapulco, Mexico, and it was great to see you. And we've been doing shows for years. And I remember in Acapulco 19. So this has been a year ago, February or something. And I'm down there, and I'm going to all these guys saying, "Look, man, they're coming. We're getting ready for that." So, you know, especially Luke, he's like, "Yeah, yo, get ready, take a shot every time Ernie says IPFS." You know, and he's giving me crap. But now. I want, you know, what's your interest now?
Well, I didn't want to interrupt, but I was going to say, James, I don't believe you when you said you didn't hear from IPFS from Ernie Hancock. I mean, I walk by here in the middle of the night. This man snores IPFS. He sees a random person.
But he dreams about the Corbett report. Ask him about that.
I don't know about that. I'm not in his head. I can't dream about that. But I got to give credit where credit's due. And you've been warning people for a very long time saying, hey, the thought police are coming. The thought police are coming. And I'm like, I know. And you were very on point with it, and you kept bringing it up. Random people walk by here by accident. Ernie screams at them, points at them, IPFS. No one knows what's going on. But I think is more time than ever to realize the situation in front of us. And, you know, we have a huge opportunity. A lot of people like to talk about some of the negative aspects of what's happening here, especially in 2020, how horrible 2020 is. Well, in reality, 2020 is a big wake-up call to a lot of people to finally get their ish straight. Family-friendly show. whatever. Tie your shoelaces.
He's in an elementary school,
yeah.
Man.
So, yeah, family friendly.
And there's probably going to be 10-year-olds listening to this.
So, yeah, I'll be very family friendly then. But it's time to really wake up, realize the situation in front of you, and take responsibility. And just like you were mentioning before, James, especially with how squeegee cleaned, corporatized, Disney approved the internet has become, it's really a place that essentially spurs on depression, anxiety, and all these negative psychological traits because it's done like that on purpose. They have the best psychologists, the best scientists in the mind working on getting you addicted, getting you hooked onto a negative, nasty drug. Everyone's on this crack dopamine addicted rush that they can't get out of. We really have this answer. We really have this solution. We really have this plane of authenticity, of rawness, of realness, of truth presented in front of them that is a lot better than that little heroin crack from Mark Zuckerberg that he's trying to sell to you on the dirty street corners of Facebook. I'm sorry. I'm sick of Nana and Grandma and all these boomers complaining on Facebook. It's a toxic, nasty place. We have a place that's filled with solutions, answers, and what you're doing in Australia is amazing and incredible. And yeah. I would love to learn more about it, specifically what's standing in your way right now when it comes to the kind of a law or the authorities or the rules. So you said you had a bunch of kids in there. You don't have them now. What are the specifics that we need to understand that the government is doing that's kind of preventing you? We could maybe open this up to a larger question. What else is preventing us from expanding this larger idea of decentralization?
So at the moment, so the kids have come back this week, which is cool and everyone's excited. But yeah, the whole year it's been just lockdown and weirdness, and you're not allowed to leave your house. And just, well, the crazy thing, it was the average age of death from COVID in Australia is 83. Do you know what the average life expectancy is in Australia?
79?
82. So if you get it, you get an extra year.
Life extension.
It's so weird. So like, I think everyone's kind of coming out of the COVID coma. I mean, it's been a really interesting year. But I will say a lot of cool, positive stuff happening in 2020, and specifically because of the lockdown. So as I was saying to Ernie before, the digital literacy has just gone up. So like all these people who, you know, the little Luddites who say, oh, we don't need to use technology and it's bad and blah, blah, blah. They've kind of been forced to go, oh, okay, like we kind of have to get on board now. The other side of it is people are realizing, so my partner, her company that she works for, they've been working remotely like all year since the start of the year. And they've realized, hang on, we don't need to pay for this big building anymore. We can work remotely and just hire a space when we need to.
And shipping containers.
Yeah, or shipping containers, exactly right. Can I show you something cool, guys?
Sure.
No.
I'm gonna share my screen. All right, so we're talking
about
the internet.
You're not going to pull a Jeffrey Toobin on us, are you?
I don't know who that is, but okay.
You don't want to know. Don't
yeah,
go
yeah,
there.
Yeah, don't ask.
Don't go there.
Okay. Okay, can you guys see that?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is what I was talking about before. So this is Mozilla Hubs. This is A-Frame. See all these objects in here?
So they're links.
See if I can. So that's an object. You can bring it up, spin it around, have a look at it. That's hosted on IPFS. So that object there, that's not sitting on a server somewhere. That's sitting on a distributed
okay,
network.
Okay, so your kids that you're training, this is their introduction into interfacing with the internet and building their own and understanding IPFS. So they're starting
exactly.
with this.
Exactly.
Awesome.
Right. So I think, hang on, if we can get out of that. There we go. So all these things. So what I do now, instead of like doing presentations with slides or whatever that are super boring, I go into a VR space. And you can actually strap on a VR headset and go in world and actually meet me in here if you wanted to. So we don't even have to use Zoom anymore. We can actually meet in world in here. And then bring in objects from IPFS. So when you're saying like the internet is like boring and stark and, you know, corporatist, totally agree. This is the answer.
You know, this is one thing when they were talking about shopping on the internet and you have your own store and a mall and that's how they would refer to it. I thought it was going to be, you know, like that. I thought that I was going to graphically walk down, you know, a Wild West town and go into the store and look at the shells. I mean, I thought that's how it was going to be. And it, you know, never really, and it looks like, you know, that's kind of what you just sparked that memory in me. And the preserving of this information is great, but also just being able to have your store. That's why, you know, Ross Ulbricht is like doing 50 billion years, because he demonstrated that, yeah, we don't need you guys to go, oh, hell no. Well, we're going to demonstrate that, you know, what we do to people like you. And it is, a matter of fact, after the show, I got a call from, or an email from Len Ulbricht.
Donate to Ross, everyone, by the way.
I'm sorry?
Anyone listening? Donate to Ross, everyone, if you can.
Yeah, well, his mother lives in Arizona now. We're from Phoenix. She's in Tucson now, where Ross is. And she sent us an email that Ross is working on encryption, talking about this, of, you know, how peer-to-peer. So he goes, yeah, I can't get out of, but if I could get a computer, you know. So he sent us, you know, an attachment without even looked at it. We just got it like yesterday. So this is us doing this, and James participating in this has really sparked a lot. When he said, yeah, Ernie dreams of the Corbett Report. Well, he's not too far off. Okay, this is what happened. We were doing a podcast, and that morning or something, you know, you sleep late and you're kind of, you know, you're dreaming, you actually remember your dream or something. And I remember I was being interviewed. I mean, I'm an activist. I get interviewed, you know, television, that kind of stuff. And I was thinking, you know, I'll do what I was dreaming about. When they were go to me and they said, and I just kept going, CorbettReport.com. And I'm just thinking, next time I get on, I'm going to do that. And because I'm just going, CorbettReport.com. Oh, you don't want to ask me about CorbettReport.com? What's the answer to, you know, what? I don't know. I think it's probably CorbettReport.com. And the reason is because I know it just pissed them off. You know, people getting access to that data is what's going to get. So now we have what we used to do as activists in the 90s. You know, there wasn't World Wide Web or search. I mean, I remember when Yahoo first started and you fill out, you know, pick my cool site thing, you know, you get a listing. And what it was is we would promote a site. You know, it would be, and if we had QR codes back then, hell, we'd been silkscreening signs and everything. I'm a sign guy. I'm traveling across the country making signs, doing signs. I'm even getting Luke. He's like, I think I'm going to be doing some signs, you know, because we're having a lot of luck with it, you know, around the country, just, you know, sticking, giving the middle finger to the man. And I remember during the Ron Paul Evolution, they were, you need the older people in the meetups. They go, well, I'd be there to speak and, you know, promote and everything. And they go, don't you have to get like a permission slip to put the sign up and all this kind of, and we're like, what? These young kids were going, I'm not going to get a permission slip to the man to give a finger to the man. I mean, what are you talking about? And when you're having elementary age school children learning this part of the capabilities of the internet from the beginning, it's not going to be, it's going to be 5, 10, 15, 20. It's over. This is
VR and blockchain natives. Think about that. There's kids at this school now who've never known a world without that technology. Just, yeah. It's crazy.
Actually, yeah, when you were talking about that library project, that was the thing I was most excited about, is that, yeah, these kids are getting into the ground floor at the decentralized web. And they can bypass completely all the nonsense that's going on. And I think the kids will get it. Kids aren't going to log on to Facebook and be like, ooh, wow, this is exciting. No, of course not.
Does anyone still use Facebook?
My grandma's on Woohoo.
Of these new platforms and these new ways of doing it. I think the kids will get it a lot better than us old geezers will.
100%. Can I ask you guys a question about YouTube? So to Luke and James, like your and Ernie, like your stuff has been on YouTube, obviously, for years.
Yeah, I just kind of stopped in 10. When I was doing the show, and they gave me a gig because I had 7 seconds of Led Zeppelin rejoiner. So I go, I'm done. I already see where this is going. You know, I will not be curtailed. And it's just now, we just got the bus done, and we're pulling out tomorrow. I mean, we've been working on this thing for months. And I know James is like, I hear about this bus, but I'm not really sure. But anyways, so while we're on the road, I'm going to be able to sit and actually, you know, spend some time on the quality of the show and the green screen, you know, usage and doing the runner and all this kind of, but where I put it is important to me because I don't want it to be taken down because I used a clip of a movie. You know, I'm going, screw that. You know, it's like Luke here, you know, when he talks about, you know, he calls it the cornholio disease or some crap like that, you know, because he can't say it. You're censoring yourself all the time. And I'm just like, Luke, I mean, you know, stop. Yeah, but, you know, that's where the people are. And you got, I'm going, not any freaking more. I mean, you know, they're dropping off and they're getting rid of the content. This is what I knew was happening. James will back me up, man. I said, man, let me tell you exactly what's going to be happening. And then I go into my IPFS chant.
I haven't heard that one before. I think, again, we got to have multi-pronged kind of attacks. And there are some normies out there that do benefit from hearing it on YouTube that randomly kind of cross upon it. Yes, the game is rigged. Yes, it's not fair. But you're going to – if I have a shot to shoot, I'm going to shoot it everywhere I can. Because, you know, in my opinion, it's worth an effort. And there have been a large number of people that have been affected by it. But also at the same time, you know, I'm on BitChute, I'm on DLive, I'm on Library. You know, you got to diversify on everything, especially when it comes to critically important information. But now I'm kind of going back to where I started, which is kind of funny to see this kind of cycle, because I started in the streets in New York City right after 9/11, giving out flyers to people on at Ground Zero. Now I'm like, I kind of like this sign idea. I kind of got my own truth mobile. There's a little competitive thing. I don't know if you can tell between me and Ernie. as far as our vehicles, I think we're going to end up racing very soon. I think that would be very entertaining to watch the We Are Change Mobile. I need a better name. It has to be something akin, because, I mean, I don't think the Love Bus is a good name in itself, because that breeds a lot of confusion, but that's a whole other topic that we could get into a little bit later.
What are you and Luke doing on the Love Bus?
Again, I don't know. I was looking around. I was like, I hope no one sees me coming in here. There's a huge Love Bus sign on the back end there. I'm like, I don't know, man. So where was I? So again, diversifying to me is really critically important. And I'm really kind of thinking and planning, going back to basics. I think if we have a guerrilla sign marketing campaign, a way to kind of reach people and to maybe even do survival training courses all over the United States, I think that's something that I'm slowly aiming to, one-on-one, decentralized, working with individuals and helping those individuals spread signs, spread the messages, spread information that will essentially not only free them of this, you know, Orwellian technocratic overlord control, but also at the same time, maybe even prepare them and give them a sense of ease by being prepared for anything that comes their way. So this is really a huge transformational year for me. I know it started absolutely crazy in New York City. I've made a lot of different changes in my life personally because of the crazy situation that I was in. And, you know, the more you start preparing, the more you start becoming responsible for yourself and reliant, the more you kind of are put at ease, the more you're able to rely. The more you're able to actually be, you know, far more productive, far more happier, and far more healthier. And I think if we could just start on that basic one-on-one level, I think we really got something there. But I'm sorry, you had a question we never got to. I apologize for that.
That's all good. Yeah, I was just wondering when, Ernie, you already answered 2010. Geez, it's a long time ago. But do you remember the first time when YouTube or Google like deleted your stuff?
Yeah, this is what happened for me. We have the site freedomsphoenix.com, and that was a concept like in 96. Even the logo, it's the, you know, Freedom's Phoenix rebirth from the ashes of Lady Liberty's torch. That was the concept. I knew this was coming, and when it did, there will be this resurgence of freedom, and we'll see, you know, how that goes. And in the end, freedom always wins. It just gets really messy first. But our whole thing was, when video hits the internet, if you're a young guy in your 30s saying, ah, when video hits the internet in the 90s, you're freaking nuts. You're going, that's all probably, it'll never happen. I go, yeah, right. Well, when it does, you know, that's when we go. YouTube hit in 05, boom, we started developing Freedom's Phoenix. Because once we could do video, I knew it was all over. I don't care how freaking scary your opening is with F-15s bombing, whatever the hell, you know, and you're, woo, you're scared before they even start the show, you know. And I'm going, No, it's going to be, you know, someone like Luke. You know, that's how I you know, found out about Luke, was his 9/11 activism. And then we promote his video, promote. I'm, you know, my site and all the stuff we do in my show is really the promotion of what you're doing, you know, and certainly James. You know, James has been, you know, just a rock steady researcher of have the information that I know. Of course, he says, check in the show notes, do your own research, yada, yada, yada. Yeah, but I kind of trust James, you know, I'm not really worried about that much. So, but the having this information is great. When it got bought up by Google, when it started doing this, I could, of course, you know, if you're a libertarian hardcore activist for, you know, because my whole thing is they always say you were you conspiracist? You know, do you think the government would do this, you know, pick it, you know, whatever the hell it is, fluoridating the water, you know, GMO, the food, the air, the I mean, whatever the hell they're going to do, mandatory vaccination, turn you into slave monkeys, or, I mean, whatever the hell they're going to do. Do you think they would do that? And I go, I don't know. Can they? I mean, you know, if they physically can, they are. They sure as hell want to. You know, so it's a mindset. I'm of course they are. So when it started happening to me, I go, nope, I'm not getting sucked into that. Now, of course, we lost traffic, but that was not my goal. Now, Luke, man, him and, you know, and a lot of the other activists, they're like, ooh, man, how many clicks did you get? What's your metrics? How many, you know, oh, give me some money. You know, I'm going, yeah, well, you keep worrying about that. I'm worried about this, what you're doing, and preserving what James is doing. See, I knew, I'm always been like 5 years ahead of whatever the hell, you know, and I don't care. You know, my supporters understand that we're playing the long game, and I don't get all nutted up or worried or whatever. And James comes on, and it's always like the one evening that we had, it was the vice presidential debate. And I'm like, so are we going to talk about that, James? Like, no. He doesn't care about voting. You know, I run for office a lot and all that stuff, but I don't vote. You know, I'm just like, you know, I get it. You know, but it's like Luke is saying, how many mechanisms can you use to free minds? How many minds can you free? That is where my supporters really come in, as I go, look, how many minds are we freeing? All this other stuff is a side effect. You know, that's what's the important thing. And the fact that you get them at such a young age and they are starting to learn at the very beginning what, like James was talking about, is the excitement of this new technology of the internet to do whatever you wanted. And then it started getting collectivized and ratcheted down. And as soon as you come up with some cool tech, Facebook or, you know, Alphabet buys them. You know, and I'm just like, wow. So we have to have something that they can't buy.
Open protocols. Yep, that's right.
Luke, when was the first time you were censored?
One comment before that. I'm still waiting for the Ernie Hancock TikTok channel. I'm really excited to see the dances that he does and the presentations that he does. The first time we noticed something was very wrong, it was in 2008. YouTube was purchased up by Google in 2006. And slowly and surely, we were like, at the beginning, we were like, this is an amazing platform. Back then, it used to be, if you had the most comments, you would be ranked by how many comments you had. If you were the, you know, number one most commented video in news and politics, they gave you a little award. And we used to collect our little awards. And like, yes, we're number seventh in all views on all of YouTube in news and politics. And we remember trying to gamify it and just be a part of it. And then one day, we just saw a video just be deleted. No explanation, no reason given, no email, just boom, gone. And I'm like, what?
Wow, 2008.
Yeah, and we even made videos. We made videos in 2008. You could still go back, if the channel's still there, on YouTube, on We Are Change, go all the way back in 2008, and you could see videos saying, be careful, Google bought up this company, they will restrict your speech, we need to fight back more than ever. And, you know, it takes multiple approaches. There's a long-term approach, a short-term approach, but I think we all need to start hitting at this root tree as hard as possible, because the time is becoming, you know, pretty evident that it is becoming more critical. So that was my first time, 2008, and James, I'm curious, when was your first time when you got... you know, the effect.
When was my first time? Let me tell you about my first time, Luke. I don't remember actually at this point what it was. I'm 99% certain it was some sort of copyright flag thing, which usually is just, oh, we're going to put slap ads on your on your video and we'll collect the revenue. But sometimes they take the video down. And the one that I remember as one of the earliest was I did a Requiem for the Suicided episode many years ago on Danny Casalero, and that got put up on my extras channel four or five years ago or something. And it had a little clip from an old Unsolved Mysteries episode from like 1991 or something. And because of that clip, the entire episode gets taken down off YouTube. So for a long time, the only way you'd be able to watch that video is from my server or on BitChute. I always knew it was trending that way, so it's not surprising. I don't think, other than that, I don't think I've had age restriction, but I haven't had a video just taken down randomly or arbitrarily or against the guidelines or anything like that yet. It is coming, though. And I don't know about you, but I've seen a bunch of age restriction notices on all sorts of videos, including old, like, 2007 videos in my archives just in the past week or two, as they've announced they're going to start ramping that.
Give us your I mean, I know you get a lot of traffic. I'm sure it's a lot of YouTube and so on, but is there an up-and-comer in one of the platforms? Because I know you played with everything. I mean, you're on everything. Yeah. And, you know, so tell me what's your most successful, of course, YouTube, but, I mean, what's the up-and-comer? What's starting to threaten?
I should track that, shouldn't I?
I know. I'm with you. I'm with you, bro.
I do not track traffic. I don't care. I don't know. But I can say that I'm most excited about Odyssey right now, because that really is, it looks and feels and functions a lot like YouTube. It's very smooth. It's very nice setup. It's good for joke, you normie. I think Odyssey has some potential there.
And it's quick. It's really quick too.
Well, how long does it take? This is my problem. Uploading. My wife, right. It's uploading. It's Donna, I have 3 hours a day. I do a show 9 to noon Eastern here. I have, I want to start doing some walk and talk and the drone and the bus, and we're out doing activism and everything. I could easily be up to, 20 hours a week or more of uploading. I spend my life looking at a processing screen. You know, I'm just, now Float has been working with us to where we stream and then it processes overnight and it goes up. You know, that could be faster, you know, so we're working on that. So Float, .app, I think it's .app, you know, Float, you know, has been working with us, and Kingsley Edwards and, you know, Aaron, you know, these guys are good friends, and we're trying to help them. But, you know, it's a load speed. It's everything. Mm-hmm. You know, my wife, that's the biggest point of contention between me and my producer wife, is that it needs to go up faster. So anybody got any solutions on that? I mean, how do you do it, James? I mean, you're loaded on
this. Is hands down the fastest for uploading, that's for sure. So, I mean, just being able to pin, and there's so many tools now. So if you check out someone we were using recently, Sideruss or Orion, I'll send you a link to it anyway. It's really,
yeah, send
really cool.
Me, you know, I'm writing all this stuff down. Send me stuff.
And you can just dump, like, entire folders in, and it just does it for you.
Okay, now, what is Slide Rock, you said?
Sideruss. Orion. I'll send you a link anyway.
Okay, thank you.
But that's really cool for IPFS. But I think James is right in terms of usability on the front end. At this point, I think libraries really kicking goals. And so we've what you can actually do, and I don't know if you guys are doing this, but with library, you can sync your YouTube channel straight into it. So mm-hmm. like you're uploading to YouTube, whatevs, they say yay or nay if you're allowed to have it on the Google servers or not. But it doesn't matter because it's already gone across to library. And now with Odyssey sitting on top of the library blockchain, it's really fast. So they've got fast servers, obviously, like feeding those videos or hosting them directly from the uploaded stuff to library. I was telling James about this before. What's really cool that we've, because we interviewed the CEO of Library, this was the last lockdown, so whenever that was, but I was allowed to have like one student in, and we had all student questions for him. It was really cool, and it was all sort of, how can decentralized tech sort of change the world, and that's kind of where this podcast has gone a lot of times. But with that, one of the kids actually came up with an idea of creating a library project. So if you go to library project, LBRY project, .github.io. She's built a site and a little like intro video and stuff. But basically, we're doing a project to find the best student created video. So kids upload the video, host it on LBRY, and then the CEO for libraries actually put up his own library tokens, and then I think it's like 200 USD. Whoever gets the most sort of wins. So I love like projects like that, totally open source, student centric, and you can do that now with this tech. There's nothing really like that with IPFS yet, although there's a lot of stuff being built. So I think in my mind, like, because I'd like to be as agnostic as possible, sort of LBRY sort of for the video for the moment, but for everything else, sort of IPFS and sort of meshing the two together. That's how I've been building my stuff anyway. But that's not to say that you shouldn't put video on IPFS. I think it's really quick and easy. But for the interim, I think LBRY blockchain kind of wins out.
Yeah, his name is Jeremy Kaufman. He's actually a part of the Free State project. So I actually had been spending a lot of time with him here in New Hampshire during a lot of the get-togethers, which I think also highlights a very important aspect that a lot of people forget is they could always go outside and talk to their neighbors and say hi and say, hey, did you hear about all the craziness that's happening in this world? I saw this bit of information. I can't really make sense of it. What do you think of this James Corbett video or this whatever kind of video that runs across your timeline that you think is valuable that could actually help people? You don't want to kind of force information and knowledge down people's throats. It might be a little awkward if you come out of something like a Love Bus and you're like, hey, random person. but the community here is very, very important. And that's one of the reasons why I decided to take everything and kind of move up to New Hampshire and be a part of the Free State Project.
Couldn't do that in New York these days.
New York City, you can't do nothing. You can't even fart. You'll have the government on you like white on rice, fining you, giving you tickets for the smallest infraction of not social distancing. I mean, it's absolutely absurd the level of totalitarian control grid system that has been enabled there. And sadly, I mean, people, you know, some of the people are just trying to ignore it, but a lot of people have left for that specific reason. It's absolutely insane. I still have some family there. I've been trying to convince them all year to move out. It's been difficult, but I just decided to take my things, go out into the wild. I didn't even have any plans, and everything just kind of magically happened here in New Hampshire. I'm still here. I was here in June. I was planning to stay for a week. I'm still here. So, you know, there's some good things happening here.
Yeah, as much crap as he gives me, he's a little inspired by the Love Bus, okay? So, and he did a video on it, you know? Yeah. It's kind of, and that was really popular. Well, he's got a fifth wheel, and then he got a really manly Ram freaking four-wheel drive, four-door truck with some titanium testicles hanging from the, you know, the bumper. But the, so he's, but one of the things is that, Jay Noon up here does a thing called Man Camp, and he could see that everybody, they're just not, they don't have any confidence. You know, we just this week, it was last week, we had Jay on, and he goes, the opposite of fear. I go, what is the opposite? I always say, no fear, no fear, no fear. I mean, no fear. But what's the opposite of fear? Confidence. You know, you're not afraid when you're confident. No matter what comes up, you have some skills, you know, to do this. Well, that's one thing that Luke, coming up from Brooklyn to New York City, get a rope. I mean, you know, so he comes in. We're teaching him how to weld. He's doing it. You know, I got to drag him under his truck to change a freaking bolt to put a light thing on today. You know, can I just pay some Bitcoin for somebody to do that? But, you know, he has to learn this stuff, you know. But so then what he had been telling you, he's been working with another guy here. They have a thing called Gun Church that Dave Silver Dave does, and he's a Green Beret. You know, he's a military in Afghanistan and all that stuff. They've been training people. So Luke goes, well, I know a bunch of guys need that. So they did a full day or two or whatever on gun training. Then they did on like killing your own food and chickens, and they got a bunch of, you know, and how to dress out. And then just a couple of weeks ago, you guys did a stay overnight, build a fire, make camp, and don't die thing. You know, so this is the kind of stuff that builds confidence. And I'm wondering, in Australia, do you guys have like that, you know, outback culture still, or a Boy Scout kind of learn to live off the land thing, or you guys got all cityfied?
Yeah, I'm pretty cityfied, I gotta say, and I'd be with Luke there paying people in BTC to do so.
Right.
I think
that's an exaggeration there.
Not that much.
Don't shake your head, James. You know it's a nice truck, okay? You know the accessories there. You know they make. You have to see it to really understand.
I think there is a lot of that in Australia. Probably more so up north, more than Melbourne. But I mean, to be honest, I think we probably rival New York, Luke, in Melbourne here, because it's literally like you're not allowed to leave your house.
Well, before we run out of time, I wanted
$50,000 fine.
I wanted to make sure James got shared some information with us. Of all these sites and what you do, because your team is like you and Brock West, right? I mean, do you have more, or is it just you guys? So, no. You know, the time that he spends on uploading, does he have some kind of coding that does it all at once, or does he have 14 computers he's loading everything on, or how do you make
use of
it? You
think Brock is doing the uploading?
I have no idea!
No. Yeah, no. Brock just does the video editing. I do everything. Website, uploading, everything. So... yeah, no, I do it myself. So it is getting to be a chore. I now upload every single video to, obviously, GooTube, which automatically uploads to BitChute. I manually upload to Library. I manually upload to archive.org. I manually upload to Minds.com, every single thing that I'm doing. But now it's just my routine, so I'm used to it. But and every single day, there's someone saying, why don't you upload to this platform? Why don't you upload to that platform? I'm over here. Why don't you upload? I don't know. I guess if I could just pay someone to upload to every single platform. So I'm with you, Luke. It's not about one particular place. It's about diversifying as much as possible, because this is what digital data is about. It's about putting it everywhere. We can copy it infinitely everywhere, so why not? And that's why I think of IPFS. At this point, I think of it as the backup censorship-resistant storage. I don't think of it as my main way, but I think that will change as the various interfaces for accessing IPFS data changes and starts to become more integrated with a Web 3.0 D-Web kind of approach. And that's what I'm looking forward to. That is the long term, and we're heading there. So a bit at a time.
You know, the one thing, I give you a good example. Dr. Judy Mikovits, you know, wrote the book Plague and Plague of Corruption on, you know, the vaccine. She's a scientist on this vaccine thing. And we've been interviewing her every week for almost 5 years. You know, we did in 16, 10 days after I first talked to her, we did a vaccine education summit in Phoenix, and we just did one a year ago with, you know, Dell Bigtree and her and a bunch of other big guys on this issue, because I knew this was coming. You know, I go, they're just lying, and this is children, man. This is not going to go well for them. But when they did the movie Plandemic, and they haven't even finished it, it's just in segments, they had a 23-minute trailer with her that they were whack-a-moling it off the internet, every chance they could, everywhere. Well, we loaded it up on IPFS, and it was the seed file for everything. It just kept going. And finally, you know, never mind. I mean, a billion downloads, billion with a B. I'm going, holy crap. Wow. And there's that many people download anything? I mean, you know, so this was a perfect example of that. When you need the art, when you want to have it, when you want to make sure you can get it, and it goes faster, the more people that do it. That's the point. So, yeah, it's an archive, it's a backup, but it has, the reason it is because of its features, its traits, the fact that it can't be all these other things. So, you know, that's why, you know, like James, of course, you know, diversify and go on, but I'm not willing to... You know, the stuff that I always wanted to do, movie clips. I'm a big movie guy. Movie clips and music and classic. No, you can't. I go, F you. Yes, I can. I will build it to do it if I, you know, can, and that's what I'm doing. So, you know, Luke and James, they're always on my ass. You know, well, you should do and pimp this. But then that's a nano moment I'm spending on that when I could be focusing, working on getting this sooner. Because it's all about my grandkids. I got 12 grandkids. I want them to come in the Freedom's Phoenix, you know, to be on the other side of this. You know, by the time they start to have children and be adult, we're on the other side of freedom and abundance and rock and roll and whatnot. Because these bad guys are going away. And that's why James's stuff is so important to me. If we don't have this research and this information and this contextual understanding of what's going on and who's doing it, then we keep repeating history all the time. You know, I'm just, you know, at least it's rhyming, but I go, why? We got so much waiting for us. and the technology. That's why we have another site called PiratesWithoutBorders.com. There we have, you know, the letters of Captain Mark and, you know, kind of piratey of, you know, I raised my black flag because of and so on. And decentralized all the tech that goes to support communication, decentralization of energy and transportation and food and water and automation. I mean, all this stuff is there. And the reason is because that's the future. But you got to understand the past and how we got here and who's to blame. When James did the Gates quad thing, you know, what do you call a four-part trilogy? A quadrilogy?
Documentary.
The quadrilogy. Anyway, so, you know, when he did that, it saved me so much time. You know, somebody go, well, what if I just watch James's, you know, Gates thing, man, and you're done, you know? So that's why this kind of material is so important to me to archive and save so that it can't, you know, be. But you didn't finish my question, answer my question, James. When you upload it, are you just have a lot of bandwidth, or are you just doing one at a time, or you got several computers, you just do them all at once, or did it take you a week to do one video?
I'm all uploading from the same computer through the same bandwidth, but I'm in Japan, so maybe we have
Japan internet's
than
awesome.
You Luddites out in America.
Well, what's your speed?
Yeah, here's the thing, actually. Here is the thing. I often will use YouTube as the processor because they will put up the different quality. You know, they auto-render different qualities. And I will often use the 360p from YouTube to upload to some of the other platforms like Mines or Library because it is faster, because it does take longer to upload to a Library or Mines or something like that than to YouTube. So if I will sometimes take the rendered down version for the other uploads, but that'll change when I get scrubbed off of YouTube, which will probably be in the coming weeks. So,
well, we've been taking your MP4s, I think that's what Derek does, because you put them on your own server, right?
Those MP4s generally tend to be the rendered down versions that I scrape off of YouTube.
Okay.
I'll tell you something that's worth noting as well. If you're going to do a deep dive on the IPFS white paper, and it took me a long time to understand this. So, James, you mentioned before DTube and like the Steam blockchain, which, you know, I was super excited about when it launched, and reading the white paper, it keeps referring to the permanent internet. What they actually mean, and there's been a few revisions, is the persistent internet. So like the right to be deleted is still in there. And I didn't get that to begin with. So I was uploading stuff to YouTube thinking, oh yeah, it's just there forever. Until you go to go back to it and sort of look at it down the track. So I had one video that, you know, I made $8 or something in Steam dollars or Steam credits or whatever it was. And I was like, oh, cool. People actually like that. Got lots of views. Went back a couple months later. Hang on. My picture's there and the hash is still there, but the video is gone because it hadn't been pinned anywhere. It's just like, all right, it's there for X amount of time. So what we need to do is create a network of a global network, and like what I keep coming back to education, like we have all these schools. So you have like a primary school or an elementary school next to a high school, next to a you know, tertiary, next to a university. They'll have wicked internet connections and basically unlimited space, but no protocols to support each other. So if we can create a network, and this goes for everything, right? Of people with decent internet connections and lots of hard drive space, we can create a persistent internet of whatever files that we want to continue.
But that's right. We need a network out there to support that. And Ernie, what are you doing with sitepins.net? Is it?
Sitepins.net is what Derek used as the, well, you got to talk to Derek. I mean, you know, he's the guy doing this, but Sitepins, it shows all the videos that we've scraped and some of the information, and that's kind of, he's trying to, you know, give enough data for people to replicate his stuff. I mean, he's not like trying to, you know, build something. He wants time. He doesn't need money. He wants time. Somebody, you know, clone me and, you know, I'll get all over it, you know. But sitepins.net is where he has a lot of this information. But we just did a show last week where we were talking about this, and he's all excited about when the snow starts flying in Maine and he gets at his computer and he's not outside, you know, like doing stuff. You know, he's going to be all on, you know, GitHub working on these formatting and the protocols and everything that you're doing. That's what I was going to ask you. Would you mind taking a call from him or email or exchange? I'll Derek talk to you, because if you got kids that need to do some work... You know, get that 12-year-old on it, man. Rock and roll. So this is This is coming, and I tell you, the success story on this is what James has done. One, he created the content, and then we saved it. And, you know, he kind of like, he gives it a little, okay, you know, he gives me the Luke thing and, you know, take another shot. But, you know, when it finally gets to the point, you know, this stuff's starting to happen, and he's like, I'm a little bit more interested in this. And as it develops and becomes, you know, very fast, like Odyssey is doing well, I know Jeremy, and, you know, Derek and I have sat down in his office in Manchester and talked to him about this. You know, where do we put our video? When we really start pushing this,
that's awesome.
Where do we go? Because that's where I want to go. Who's going to make it easier for me? We'll do the James thing and put it everywhere. And then he's Agorist Hosting. He's got his own servers and stuff. And we have, you know, that's not the point. I'm not doing it for me. I want it for everybody. I want it because that is the biggest way. That's why, you know, you get on TV and you say CorbettReport.com, because it's just to piss them off. It's to educate people. It's to get them to have, you know, access to this information that they don't want you to have, and to be able to share it quickly. And because we did a thing, we call them pirate boxes, and we just do the Raspberry Pis with two terabyte plugins, boom, you're done. And that sounds like what you're doing. I'm like, you're my hero, man. Let's get on with it, you know, because we have a lot of people working.
I'll tell you how we my God, kids coming in now. I better go in a second. But basically, we do, just to put the picture of like the philosophy of our school, so we do a lot of critical thinking and self-directed learning. So the kids here embark on these things called Enigma missions. And Enigma missions are like SDL, or self-directed learning projects. They pick a topic, they run with it for up to three years. And at the end of it, they do like a TED-style prez, and they have to know their stuff inside out. So like a whole group of people firing questions at them. And this is everything from, you know, the problems with Einstein's equations to GMO foods to one girl went out like feeding homeless people and filmed the whole thing. But historically, like since its inception back in like 2014, 2013, we were just uploading by default to YouTube until we realized, oh, okay, so that video where that girl's like doing this awesome presentation, we didn't have any other copies of it. We just thought, hey, put it on YouTube and it's there. Deleted her video. Deleted like all these kids' videos, particularly a bunch of stuff around kids, obviously they're all into gaming. Probably because of copyright, deleted, and like we didn't even think, well, I haven't got backups to that, we just uploaded it. It's really sad, and it's really gross that a corporate, like a Google, like a, we can you even call them a corporation anymore? I don't even know what you're meant to call them now. Like
they just filed an antitrust lawsuit, the attorney general in America is after him right now. They just did it yesterday or something.
Well, it's just gross, right? Like, I mean, I mean, and it's obviously just AI probably deleting stuff, but to delete like 12-year-old's work or 10-year-old's work, like it's just disgusting. So we need protocols to fix that, and I think IPFS is the way to do that, along with these like.
So you'll take a call. You'll communicate with Derek, because I mean, you guys. Oh yeah, no. This is it. And all it has to do is take.
Are you guys with Jeremy now? Like, is he in your?
No, he's about 30 miles away or something, yeah.
Okay, well, if you see him again, say hi and tell him thanks very much.
Yeah. You know, I'm really glad we got to do this. And one of the milestones for us is that, you know, James would take it seriously and actually ask us questions and put this up. Because I think, James, you knew, and he told us, he said, get ready, here it comes. You know, there's going to be a lot of people taking a look at this. And I'm going, good. That's what makes it go faster. You know, that's what you try to understand. And and thank you, James, you know, for taking this seriously. I know we talk about a lot of things and so on. But really, this is one of the most important things. And it's to archive the work like what you do. And I'm glad that you're smart enough to put it on your own servers and have the MP4. And you're telling people, you know, hey, yeah, it's out there, but I got it on my own, which made it easier for us. Because what happened, he did a sitemap for Derek. He said, well, just do a sitemap, and you know, I don't know what that means, but I guess, you know, James figured it out. Within 18 hours, his site was up. We started having stuff up, like the next day. You know, I mean, it's really not that hard.
Easier.
For you guys.
Check out Fleek when you get a chance. Fleek makes it really simple.
You're going to send me an email with all this stuff.
I'll just send it all to
you. Yeah, you're killing me.
I'll put it in the show notes as well. Thanks so much, guys. I better run because I got kids like knocking on the door. But, love to chat again. Thanks for jumping in, everyone. love all your work. So yeah, keep it up.
Thank you.
All right, awesome. Thanks for having us on. Thanks for doing this podcast. I've just subscribed to the podcast myself and I'm listening in. So I'm very excited to hear about all the developments. So get that, keep that coming. I want to hear about all the developers and all the cool stuff that's happening on it.
Apologies for my my terrible recording skills.
That's all right, kids. I like hearing the kids. I got grandkids.
But we got cool sound engineers, and they make it sound as good as possible.
Well, so. I'm excited. I hope you're getting a little bit more excited about the future of this, James. Because I mean, you know, this is you're the milestone, man.
Ernie, you keep saying that. I've been on this bandwagon for a decade. I was on Veracity videos back in the day. YouTube is going down back in 2009. Like, come on.
I was on blip.tv. Do you even know what that was?
Yeah, I was.
Remember that? Yeah. Anyway, we're old timers at this, Ernie. We know.
I knew you knew that, you know, this was coming and so on. I'm just glad that you're starting to see the benefits and possibilities of IPFS. And you're right. It's not just that. I don't give a crap. You know, you're assuming I'm married to it. I was looking for storage and made space and steam and mines. I mean, I'm waiting for but they're all kind of centralized, or they're worried about the monetization. This is a people effort. This is something we can do right now, and it's happening. And I'm excited, like you say, James, like it was in the early 90s.
Mm-hmm. All right, cool. Let's wrap it up here.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
All right. Take care, guys.
Bye.
See you, Luke.
Sweet. Well, thanks for having me on. Yeah, see, that was a good ad for you.
Now I'm not indentured. Right. I'm free.
Free.
I get it.
Well, you got benefit out of that. That was cool.
Anytime you want to have me on, make sure it's not in the morning. And I'll do it for you. I just don't. I'll do it for you anytime. It's not in the morning. Yeah, thanks. That was awesome. That was amazing.